Today we're coming from Philippians. Philippians is the letter written by Paul to the church in Philippi. This is the church where he and Silas visited on his second missionary journey back in Acts. This is the location where the demon-possessed young lady came across Paul's path. Uh-huh. And folks were making money off of her. He cast the demon out of her. Uh-huh. They got mad. Next thing he knew, he and Silas were locked up in jail. Yeah, yeah. 16th chapter of Acts. And then at midnight, the earthquake came. Yeah. At midnight, they were released. This is that same location in Philippi. In the letter that he writes to the church in Philippians, Philippian church located in Philippi, he is writing to encourage them, even though he might be imprisoned. He wants to let them know that everything I do promotes the gospel more and more. He goes on to tell them that the suffering and persecution you go through for Christ's sake is worth it in the end. And he gives them guidance in the second chapter. The topic today, check out your mind. We're going to talk about humility today. The humility we need to have the mind of Christ. In the first chapter, 27 verse, Paul is letting them know, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs. That you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And not in any way terrified of your adversaries, which to them is a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Having the same conflict which you saw in me and now hear in me. He's letting them know that tough times will come. That there will be times where it seems like the world is turned upside down. What is right seems wrong and what is wrong seems right. But he encouraged them to stand on the foundation that they have in Christ Jesus. He lets them know that Jesus is the only way. And don't be surprised when you get picked on for who you believe. It's time today for us to stand up for Christ Jesus. And then the second chapter, he says, therefore, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort in love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. What he's saying is what ties us together is our love for Christ. If we are following Jesus in that first verse of the second chapter, he is saying, if there is any encouragement from being united with Christ, if there is any comfort from his love, if there is any fellowship with the Spirit, and if there is any tenderness and compassion, we might be of the same mind. We are much greater united than we are divided. We can do greater things united. For he says in verse 2, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. By being like-minded. And that word mind is used four times in this second chapter of Philippians. Therefore, the topic, check out your mind. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. In order to adopt the mind of Christ that we're going to talk about, we need to critically reflect on ourselves and be honest with God and ask him to help us to move in that direction where he is. Jesus gave the example of humility. Just as Paul was humble, Christ is asking us to be humble. Paul is asking the Philippians to be humble. But there is a perception that it is a weakness to show any signs of humility. Old preacher long ago gave this definition of humility. He said it's not a weak man's surrender, but a strong man's rejection of selfishness. And it's a determination to be actively concerned with the needs and concerns of others. If there's any time that we have needed to be concerned about others, this is the time. We have had terrible storms ravish U.S. territory in the last few months. It is time to be concerned with others and have concern for others. And I want to highlight four things in the next few verses that demonstrate the humility that Jesus had. This is the same humility that we need to have. My first point is Jesus showed humility by putting others first. Jesus showed humility by putting others first. Look at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Again, check out your mind. Some of you might remember that title is the title of a song by Curtis Mayfield back in the day. Check out your mind. You might be surprised what you might find. Check out your mind. Let this mind, let this mentality be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Jesus showed humility by being a form of God, but he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He was always thinking of others. Robbery. He did not think of his equality to God as something to hold on to just for himself. I can't keep my privileges for myself, but they must be used for others. Jesus chose to withhold the glory that came with his privileges for our sake. He made himself humble for our sake. There are times in life that we try to hold on to things for ourselves instead of sharing it with others, only to find out later that it has lost value. Only to find out later that it has become moldy. only to find out later that it has rusted through. Only to find out later that it has lost its potency. Only to find out later that what we tried to hold on for ourselves is no longer good for us. There are opportunities that we have to empty our pantry and share with others. But if we don't, soon we will be looking at expiration dates of things that we were saving for a rainy day. For that just in case. I don't know if you like me, but I like to check the expiration date before I buy anything. Because I want to make sure I'm going to have long enough to enjoy it. I have gone to the store and I have seen things that expire in 2 days. I have seen things that expire in 1 week. And I move past that item and go to the back of the shelf to see if there's something else that has a longer expiration date. Because if I pay my money for it, I want to be able to enjoy it or allow it to be a blessing for others. And there are some things that I have refrained from purchasing because I know I will not have time to use it before the expiration date. I like it now that everything does have expiration date on it. I don't think it was that way when I was a young man. And when I was a child, I was shocked when I found out that there was expiration for a can of soda. I was shocked because if you was like me, you might have had the whole six pack in your house for a year and wondering why it tastes funny afterwards. Now you look at it and it tells you if you buy it today, it expires a month from today, 2 months from today. Let us not hold for ourselves what will expire, but let's make sure that we share with others. We hold money because we want to make sure we have enough for ourselves. Remember the man who built the bigger barns in the Gospels? He built bigger barns because he had enough. He had more than enough. So instead of sharing it with others, he built bigger barns. That man did not end up well because he certainly did not use what was in those barns. Those were left for somebody else. There is a phrase called use it or lose it. Position. People hold on to position. In the workplace, we hold secrets because we are afraid that somebody else will take our position. We won't let them know everything that we know. We will not guide others. We will not train others because we feel this is my position and I don't want you to have it. But we should always be trying to work ourselves out of a job. Because I'm foolish enough to believe that if we help others, if we take on the mind of Christ and help others, then God has something greater in store for us. Don't hold it to ourselves. Jesus shows humility by putting others first. Did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, did not hold the privileges of being the Son of God only to himself, but he came with the intent of using it for all of us. The second point comes from verse 7. Jesus shows humility through service. Look at verse 7. But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant, and coming in the likeness of men. Think about it. The Son of God came looking like one of us. Came acting like some of us. He came with a mission to serve and not to be served. He came healing folks. He came feeding folks. He came leading folks and teaching folks. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, a servant, and coming in the likeness of men. But there are some things that separate us from Jesus. He might have looked like us, but he cared for everybody. I only wish that we would care for everybody. Remember the illustration he gave about the shepherd with 100 sheep, and only 99 came home, and he went out to seek that one sheep. I'll have to be honest with you, if 99 came home and if it was getting dark, I don't know if I would really want to go find that one sheep. But Jesus thought it was important enough to say 99% won't do. I have to reach 100%. That was Jesus, the servant. The greater the leader, the greater the servant. Matthew 20:28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and give his life as a ransom for many. Substitute that word service, servant, in that for that word minister, because that's what it really means. Matthew 28:28, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to pay the ultimate sacrifice and give his life for many. Jesus showed us during his ministry what it was like to be a servant. Using the teachable moment with his disciples, he washed their feet before their meal. He wanted to demonstrate to them that the greater you are, the least you are. Where do you want to be? Do you want to be up high dictating the people, or do you want to be walking among the people? You will never know what people need until you walk in their shoes. You will never know where they are until you walk in their shoes. And you cannot do it from on high. You have to meet them where they are. When they hurt, you hurt. When they laugh, you laugh. When they have joy, you have joy. That's what this togetherness is all about. Jesus showed humility through service. The question is, how do we serve the body of Christ? We have many opportunities at Beacon Light to serve the body of Christ. And I neglected to mention yesterday and congratulate and thanks Tabitha's daughters for feeding at the Ronald McDonald House on yesterday, feeding the residents for the Ronald McDonald House. Y'all did a great job, I understood. But you were doing your service unto the Lord. Your passion is doing those things that you don't have to publicize. You don't mind if nobody ever recognizes you, but you were doing it for the Lord. But it is my job to make sure your accomplishments are highlighted. I want to let everybody know that it's not just me in this ministry business, but it's each and every one of us. We all have our ministry, whether it's visiting the sick, calling on somebody, taking them to a doctor's appointment, sharing a good word with them. All of these I have heard that you have done, and I am thankful. And I know the angels rejoice in heaven for your work. But let's not get complacent. There is much more work to do. My third point, Jesus showed humility through sacrifice. Look at verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He knew that he had one job, and he knew what his fate was going to be. He submitted himself has a humble servant. He came in the appearance like us. And he knew that he was going to die on the cross. But that did not stop him from blessing people along the way. It did not stop him from praying for people along the way. It did not stop him from blessing people along the journey. He became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Even on the cross, he was still ministering. As the soldiers guarded him, as the soldiers poked him, as he died, he even said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." How many of us can forgive somebody who wants to slay us, who wants to kill us, who wants to end our life, who wants to take what we have? How many of us can do that? Ask God to forgive them. Not many can do that. But he lets God know that they know not what they do. Forgive them in the midst of their ignorance. Forgive them in the midst of their disobedience. Forgive them. For they know not what they do. We have to forgive others that don't understand things from our point of view. Yesterday I passed by a church. Big church. And a big marquee out front. With the words, "We stand." And immediately my mind went there. I knew what the message was. They were not being sympathetic to those who refused to stand during the national anthem. They were not being sympathetic to those who link arms as a form of protest for the injustice in the nation. They were not being sympathetic. But they could not be sympathetic because they could not see it from our point of view. They could not see it through our eyes. And I thought of this passage as I was working on this message. "Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do." You see, to take on the mind of Christ means to look at things from the position of somebody else. Look at their pains. Look at their hurts. And ask ourselves, how can we alleviate this? How can we help? How can we intervene? To do that, we have to get out of our comfort zone. We have to get out of our comfort of privilege. And look through the shades of another lens. We have to do that. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Amidst the protesting going on, "Father, forgive them who don't understand." "Father, forgive them." Jesus was able to forgive those who killed him. And he was hung on the cross. And beside him were two thieves. One was critical, said, "Hey, you here with us. You're going to receive the same death of us." The other one said, "Don't you know who you're talking to? He does not deserve this." "Father, consider me. Father, pray for me. Father, you are the Son of God," the other thief said. Jesus said unto him, "Today, this day, you shall be with me in paradise. What that tells me is never too late to accept Christ Jesus. It is never too late. This might have been the only decent thing this man did in his own life. But he is with the Father. He is among all the good people and righteous people who have died. It is never too late. Even in his last breaths, Jesus was showing humility through sacrifice. And the last point I want to lift up is Jesus is Lord and glorifies the Father. Jesus had to pay a high cost for our sins. The question is, are we ready to pay the cost of following him? Verse 9 says, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What Paul is trying to show the Philippian church is that if we're going to be humble like Christ, we will be exalted like Christ. They will talk about us. They will brag to us what they have, but we don't have. But that's okay. Let us never be weary of well doing. Several individuals in the Word came from humble beginnings, but yet were exalted. Y'all remember Joseph, the one who was sold into slavery? But didn't God exalt him to being second in command of Egypt under Pharaoh? Y'all remember a lady named Rahab? Back in Joshua's days, Rahab was a prostitute. She came from the other side of the tracks. But yet, because she was obedient and feared the Lord, she was exalted. They did not mess with her when the walls of Jericho came down. And she was protected. And if you look at the lineage of Jesus Christ, her name is there. Only God can do that. David was a mere boy. All he had going for him was a slingshot and a few rocks. But yet through that humble beginning, God exalted him and anointed him king of all of Israel. He had to go through a lot before he was appointed. But he was anointed earlier, much earlier in his life, before he had the position. We have a special anointing upon us. And just because we haven't been appointed to the position, let us not stop seeking to do the work of Christ, doing the work of God. Even though we might not have a title, let us not stop. But let us continue on doing the good for Christ's sake. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It does not say so they might glorify you. We like praise, amen? Come on. Every now and then, we need to feel good, right? We need somebody to tell us we look kind of good, amen? We need to tell somebody to tell us we dress kind of good. We do a good job. But we're not doing it solely to hear how good we are.
Great.
But that's our opportunity to tell everybody how good God is. When you get that second diagnosis, second test, and the doctor says that what was there earlier is no longer there, that's the chance to give God the glory. Only God could have done that. When you get that call in the midnight hour, thank you, it is that opportunity to say, God, you fix it. I know you can do it. I cannot do it all by myself. When you feel like you are being picked on in the workplace, maybe that's an opportunity to give God the glory. God, I thank you for preparing me for something much greater. Lord, if you don't want me to be here, put me where you want me to be. You know, it is no coincidence that the great joy we have in the birth of a child only comes after many hours of pain. There are birthing processes in ministry that only come through months of pain, months of prayers, months of wondering what's going to happen. Allow God to use you. But to do that, we need to take on the mind of Christ. Again, from verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If you want to know what humility is, look at this passage. If you want to point others to what humility is, point to this passage. If you want to share with others how we can overcome whatever we're going through, you can point to the Philippian church and what they were going through and how they were encouraged to remain humble and have humility and show humility to others, even in the midst of what they are going through. I come from a generation of farmers. I come from people like many of you who didn't have much, but what they had, they shared with others. What they had, they shared with others. I can remember my grandfather killing a hog. And I can remember him not keeping it all for himself, but sharing with his neighbors. And I can remember his neighbors sharing with him. As a young child, that was an interesting concept. If you got all this and you know winter's coming, why don't you save all this and it will last all winter? But see, that's the mind of a child. But that's not the mind of a child of God. A mind of a child of God is to be like Christ and realize that you will have your blessing, you will have your reward, you will have what you need. But our job is to share with others in the midst of what we're going through. Our job is to consider others, those who we don't see on a regular basis. Consider them, pray for them, call them up, send them a card, share with them. Humility is what this message is all about. Checking out our mind, just asking us to compare ourselves to what the word says. And ask God to help us to get to where we need to be. Only then can we have the mind of Christ. And I don't think this is something that we ever should think that we have reached the summit. You know, there are mountains that we climb. And I can tell you from personal experience, I will look at it at the beginning and it will tell me how far I got to go. There have been some I say, oh no, this is not for me. But there are others I say, I can handle this. But once you get to the top, you look around and you put your chest out with pride. Might even take a selfie and send to your friends. Once you get to the mountaintop, but you cannot stay at the mountaintop. You will come down, and that feeling you had will disappear. But I would rather be in the process of always moving up, never reaching the mountaintop, but knowing that I'm advancing day by day, week by week, month by month, closer and closer. I will never reach it in my lifetime, but if I keep that mentality, I can remain humble. If I keep that mentality, I can remain hungry. If I keep that mentality, I can remain the child of God that is worthy of being called a child of God. Each one of us needs to check out our mind every now and then and see where we are and be honest with ourselves. God bless you. Check out your mind. God bless you.